The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're back because it's hour two of the show. It's 10:02, and what a good-looking day, a Harley-riding day. High today around 63, 64 degrees. We'll be cooling off. Maybe a chance of that first snow of the year by Tuesday. And it's funny, all the global climate alarmists, because they gotta depends on what part of the world you're on, whether you're global warming or global cooling now. Just like back in the decades, it just depended on which direction the temperatures were going. They realized it changed so often that they had to come up with climate change. But people have been touting that the longest period on record since 18 or 19 something or other, 200 and some days since we had snow in Denver. But what they don't tell you is that there is an even longer record back in the 1800s, where we had over 200 some days without snow in Denver, Colorado. So, you know, and gosh, for centuries before that, we really didn't keep those records. So we don't really know what kind of fluctuations we've had in a lot of snow, a little snow. And quite often when we have dry falls, we get nailed during the winter. But anyway, time to move on. And very excited to be joined by Republican gubernatorial candidate Greg Lopez. I've known Greg for a long time, and he's a third-generation Hispanic American, served in the U.S. Air Force as a weapons specialist, disabled while he was there, did programming, a whole lot of things. And what was special about Greg when I got to know him is he was, I think, maybe not the youngest, one of the youngest people ever elected mayor to a significant city. He was the mayor of Parker, Colorado at the ripe old age of 27. And I can't think of a better way to bring him on the show than with this.
Up pops the devil, Greg Lopez.
Up pops the devil, Greg Lopez. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, Randy. Thank you so much for having me. You know, it's a pleasure to be on the show with you this morning.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's good to have you here. What can you tell people about yourself? You know, a lot of folks just aren't really paying close attention to elections. We're months away even from the primary. But this is actually a very important period for all of the candidates out there trying to get some name recognition and stake out a place in this thing. So talk a little bit about yourself.
Well, you know, you mentioned, you know what, I am a veteran, and I am the youngest mayor elected in the state at the time when I was 27. And, you know, the difference, Randy, is I was a strong mayor. And what that means is not only was I the mayor, but I was a city manager. So all the department heads reported directly to me. So I understand all the issues of transportation, water, quality, all the things that, a governor has to be aware of when he's looking at running the state. You know, I'm a former president of the Denver Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
Let me pause you for just 1 second, because I want to make a point for folks who don't understand. When you say strong mayor, you're not talking about the fact that you exercised your authority, you know, with strength and principle and forcefulness. Mike Kaufman in Aurora is a perfect example of a weak mayor, and that doesn't mean that Mike is weak. Mike has been fighting some fights the best he can with the power that he has, but really the city manager in Aurora has a lot more authority and control, and of course, while they've had the radical city council in place, Aurora has just been a disaster with very little that Mike Kaufman could do about it. And Parker, you had a lot more authority.
I did. You know, to put it another way, I was the chief operating officer. I oversaw the day-to-day activity of the town, all the department heads. So I was very actively involved in all aspects, whether it was policing, public works, finance, you know, the courts. I was involved in all of those things as a city manager or county manager does every single day. And so, yes, that's exactly what I'm articulating to people. And, you know, like I said, I'm a small business owner. My wife and I are small business owners. And, you know, I am the former director of the United States Small Business Administration here in Colorado. And so for 7 years, I was a voice and face of small business. So I truly understand the importance of small business as it pertains to communities, what it means to the quality of life of individuals and so forth. And, you know, I can honestly tell you that I know that there are 64 counties in the state of Colorado, not nine. And I think people are looking for a governor that truly understands that.
Well, it's fascinating. And you got a great deal of attention here on 710 KNUS last week. I guess I would say negative attention as a result of something that you said that got Kyle Clark's attention and then got repeated over and over and over. Let's let folks hear this statement and get you to comment on it. And, of course, we'll close out with talking about your campaign and what's next as you march forward in this race. But this was you last week up in Mesa County.
You know, folks, I stand with you. I stand with Sharona and I stand with Tina. Why? Because it's about the Constitution and it's about our country, America.
So that's the whole thing. That's the whole clip that got you in trouble. So let's talk a little bit about Mesa County. I had Sharona Bishop on the show 2 or 3 weeks ago now. Full hour interview. People should go back and check that out. And Tina Peters, I know everyone is scared to death of this Gold Star mom who really put it on the line. And talk a little bit about what you were doing up there and what that statement was all about and why you think you're getting so much flack over it.
Well, you know what?
By the way, from certain circles, most of us could really give a crap, but go ahead.
Right. Well, let me, I hope it's okay. But you know what, as you know, yes, Peter Boyles, you know, made a big issue out of it. You know what? And I just want to say, you know, I'm glad that Peter finally acknowledges that I'm running for governor.
Well,
and I want to thank him for doing that. You know, I've been trying to get on the show.
Have you?
My team's been sending him emails, texts, and voicemail.
Okay.
You know, saying,
well,
hey, we'd like to be.
Let's do this. Let's not talk about Peter's show. I understand. When I heard about this, I went back and listened, and they said they reached out to you to get your comment on this. So I bet you could make that work. And go on and talk with him about his perspective on this on his show. That'd be the thing to do.
Okay, so let me address my remarks, because I think a lot of people, specifically Peter, aren't really understanding what was going on. So you know what? I was up in Mesa County. I have a lot of supporters up here, and of course, you know, this was occurring, and so I stopped by and I made a few remarks as it pertains to, you know, what is happening here in our country. And you know, there are two individuals that are being supported up here by different individuals, and that is Sharona Bishop and Tina Peters. You know, and when I met the Constitution, you know, Sharona Bishop is being really bullied, what I believe, by the FBI, not because she's broken a law, but simply because she's speaking her opinion. You know, and here in America, you know, I think it's important for us to defend the Constitution and the First Amendment, which is freedom of speech. You know, I have yet to hear anyone say that she's broken the law. And so I was talking about the importance of all Americans being able to have the ability to speak privately and publicly in the public square about their opinions. You know, and apparently because I did that, and it seems like anytime, at least it seems like anytime for Peter, when he hears voter integrity, his hair catches on fire. And he goes automatically to, there's a big lie, there's a conspiracy. And it was interesting because Channel 9 did say, you know, and when they were introducing my remarks, they said, you know what, Greg spoke about election process integrity. And it seems like people forget that middle word. You know, I'm not talking about the outcome of the election. We all know what the outcome is. I was talking about, you know what, we must not only protect our Constitution and protect the election process integrity, because those are the keystones of our country. And if we lose those, then we really become a third world country. But that was the totality of my remarks. And of course, everybody likes to just pick little bits and pieces. And like you started, right? The show, it says, and up pops the devil, Greg Lopez. You know, and that's Peter's remarks. You know, I'm waiting to maybe someday he can explain what he meant by that.
Well, I'm certain you can get on the show, and that'd be the place to take that. Let's go ahead and talk about your campaign and your vision for Colorado, why you think you're the best person to take Republican nomination for governor.
Well, let me tell you what's happening, Randy. I mean, I think truly people are thirsting for a candidate that can truly connect with them. Someone that understands, like I said earlier, there are 64 counties in the state, you know, and that there's a lot of different ways of life and there's different economies, and the governor needs to protect all of them. You know, I am very concerned with what's going on with our educational system. You know, I'm very concerned what's being taught in our schools. You know, this critical race theory is just wrong. It's just plain wrong. I don't think I need to say any more about that outside that it's wrong. You know, I'm a strong supporter for school choice. You know, I really want parents to be able to determine where they're going to send their children. And I want to see vocational training be brought in back into the schools, because not everybody's going to go to college. Not everybody can afford to go to college. You know, communities, you know, small business. You know, we must support small business because they're the heart and soul of every Main Street. Small business is what really makes a community. And, you know, when you have a governor that overnight, with a stroke of a pen, shuts down 600,000 small businesses, he destroys families. Families he destroys, and their future and their Colorado dream. You know, and I want to make sure that we protect our small business owners and we create communities and the quality of life for everyone across Colorado, that they can live that American dream. And, you know, and I look at the budgets and I look what the state's doing, and I believe there's a lot of fraud, waste, and abuse that's going inside the government itself, the state level. You know, and I support the taxpayer Bill of Rights. I am not going to allow fees to continue to, you know, circumvent the wish of the people.
For real? Look,
I'm a, you know, Randy, I tell people, yes, I'm running for governor. But more importantly, I'm applying for a job. I'm applying to be the CEO of the state of Colorado. And every voter out there has a responsibility to interview me, to ask me the questions. Do I have the qualifications? Do I understand the issues? Do I understand the impacts that it has on people's lives? It's not a popularity contest. This is about selecting the CEO of the state. And so I can assure you that as I travel through Denver and Adams and Arapahoe and all those, I have Democrats and unaffiliated saying, Greg, we need you to win the primary for the Republican Party because we're ready for someone like you to be the governor. We don't like the misguided policies that Governor Polis is doing on us, what he's doing to our kids, what he's doing to our small businesses. We need to move on. We need to move on and be able to live the Colorado dream and stop making Colorado, California. That's why I'm running, because it's important to make sure that we care about Colorado. And I'm going to tell you this.
Well, let me step in, because I do have a couple of questions and we're running out of time. We know that Polis forked over $24 million of his own money the last time around. I'm sure he'll bring whatever unlimited resources he needs to make sure he's all over every TV screen and everywhere else. How does any Republican, and how do you expect to compete with the amount of exposure and the amount of you know, just name recognition that he obviously has, having been the sitting governor and a prior congressman here in Colorado?
Well, let me tell you this. You know, I am not the candidate that's going to buy the vote. The governor has been buying his way to all his elected positions ever since he started. I work for the support of the voters, and I'm out there touching voters, talking to them one-on-one. And so what I have is a word-of-mouth campaign. A word-of-mouth campaign that people truly understand what I stand for. Yeah, he's going to spend $24 million. And the reason he spends that amount of money is because he doesn't want to listen to the voters. He really believes that all he has to do is write a check. Well, you know what? If the people of Colorado want someone that can write a check but doesn't know how to manage a state, then they're probably going to elect him again. But if they want someone that they can connect with that struggles every day just like they do, that truly understands what they're doing, then they'll vote for Greg Lopez and have the Lopez administration be moving Colorado into the future, because I'm a hard worker, just like middle-class America is. I've been impacted by all these COVID restrictions and mandates. The governor hasn't. He has no clue what he's done to the state of Colorado. And so I think that's the difference, is I am going to outwork him. I'm going to be out there in the communities. And people know my name, and I'm going to tell you, Randy, he's afraid that I will be the nomination, because when I become the nominee, he knows he's going to be a one-term governor.
Greg, where do people go if they want to learn more, want to help out your campaign?
You know, they need to go to my website, Lopez2022.com, learn more about me. You know, if If you want me to come out to your neighborhoods and talk to you, I'm doing that every single day. But at the end of the day, I want everyone to know that it's about all of us, not just some of us. And we're all essential. I believe every family is essential. And don't you dare let any governor tell you that you're non-essential. That is just wrong.
Very good. Greg Lopez, I appreciate your time. If you find out you're going to be on Peter's show, send me a text. I'd love to give it a listen.
I will. Thank you so much, Randy.
All right. God bless.
Thank you.
My. We've got time because Sherry and Lexi have been waiting forever. Let's see. Lexi in Highlands Ranch. Thank you. Welcome to 710 KNUS.
Good morning, Randy. I'm going to get to my question real quick, but I was thinking it would really be helpful, since you have way more information than we do, if you could give us regular updates as much as you can on what's happening with, like, the Arizona audit. And I mean, we never hear anything about it.
Well, here's the take I've taken.
But I still have a question I want to ask.
Well, okay, but don't forget it. But let me just I don't want to forget to say this either. You know, it's pretty easy, really, if you have a computer to figure out what's going on in Arizona, the 83,000 votes in a 10,000 vote state that can't be tied to a signature, that multiple, you know, dozens and sometimes hundreds of ballots coming from a same address. Pennsylvania, they're getting right now in the process of selecting a strong vendor for a forensic audit. All kinds of legal actions going on in Georgia, Wisconsin, criminal charges in play there over the 2020 election. And there's just so much to cover. But as far as I'm concerned, after talking about it for so long, until we actually start seeing some palpable results, it's just chatter. And people can do their own work. And
I just wanted to know. I didn't know if anything is going to be moving forward with any
of this
stuff.
It's all, you know, part of the fight is we're having to fight with Republicans. People are in Arizona, Wendy Rogers and others, Kelly Ward, having to fight with Republican legislators to move forward on the information. You always hear, oh, the audit proved more votes for Biden. Well, yeah, okay, if you count all of the ballots. But the point of a forensic audit is to determine what votes shouldn't have been counted or what votes right. should be looked at more closely. And the margin there in the 80,000s in one county in a state that Biden only ostensibly won by 10,000, that's a pretty good red flag. But to, you know, keep pounding on it until we do get to that point where there's some actual concrete action, I just feel like it's a waste of time. People forget, you know, even the lawsuits that were filed before the U.S. Supreme Court, there were several justices that thought those suits had merit and wanted to hear them. U.S. Supreme Court justices said, yes, we should hear this case. They were overruled. They were outvoted. But it's not specious. It's not the big lie. The big lie is that this was a properly conducted election in 2020. And I'm sorry I got into the rant, but go ahead with your question.
No, I agree that we don't need superfluous information. I just, like, okay, I'm not hearing anything, so does that mean it's dead in the water? So, okay, you'll tell us if something
maybe absolutely
happens. Okay. All right, so this kind of ties into my call, which is when I heard Thursday that 80 Republicans in the House voted along with the Democrats to create a national vaccine
database. A database of the unvaccinated. It's a database of the unvaccinated. Let's just call it what it
is. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and you just sit here day after day, this stuff is done, and you just feel so helpless. How could they do that to us?
Well, just think Lynn Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, you know, the culprits that managed to get in, sometimes with Democrat support, often by lying about who they really are, what they mean. Remember John McCain got reelected to the Senate multiple times, running on Obamacare, and I'm going to repeal it. And then when he had his moment, because of his absolute hate for Trump, and who could blame him? Because Trump hit him really, really hard. But he was dying of cancer, and he was the deciding vote on the repeal of Obamacare, which he had promised people who voted for him in Arizona over.
I know what he did.
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning, all the drama in the world, all the TV cameras on the world, and everybody's sitting there waiting and watching, including Mitch McConnell. And he slowly walks over to the vote counter and gives his, you know, famous thumbs down. And that, to me, is the legacy of John McCain. Well, listen, people like me and so many others are working very, very hard to identify those kinds of Republicans and replace them with Republicans that will keep their word and believe in America first.
Your lips to God's ears.
But just remember, those are, you know, there's, I don't remember the exact count of Republicans in the House. It's over 280 of them, you know, voted against us.
But the point is still passed.
I know.
Now we're going to have is this a law now? Or does it have to go through the Senate?
I think this was part of the
big old Build Back Better bill?
No. I think this is part of the spending bridge between now and February now to avoid the dangerous government shutdown.
This is so awful.
It's horrible.
This is like Nazi Germany.
Well, I wouldn't go that far because we still vote.
A list of people who don't get the shot?
Well, I see what you mean.
And then what are they going to do?
There are a lot of lists of people. But yeah, I guess the question is, what will they do with that information?
Exactly.
We're now seeing mandatory lockdowns of the unvaccinated in Germany and other
Austria.
And Austria as well. Yeah.
Awful.
So,
thanks for listening to me.
Well, it's all right, but you know, stay vigilant, stay busy, stay active. We're winning this debate. You just can't tell it through the mainstream media.
Thanks, Randy.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Let's see. Sherry was patient enough to wait through all of that. Lexi's line is open, 303-696-19. Oh, you know what, Sherry? Do you have a minute? I'd like to get this break out of the way so I don't have to cut you short.
I have a minute.
Super. Back on hold for Sherry. Lexi's line is open, 303-696-1971. 1023, you're listening to 710 KNUS. No more. Well, got my instructions from Mean Gene Bennett behind the glass. Said, no more coffee for you, son. Calm down. Coming up on 10:30, halfway through the show, we put Sherry back on hold because we were late for the break. She was kind enough to wait, so let's get right back to Sherry in Lakewood. Good morning. Welcome to 710 KNUS.
Hi, Randy. I wanted to bring up the point about vaccinations, that we the people, to give an informed consent, have to know what's in those vaccinations, and we have to know that each of those lots of vaccinations have the same ingredients. And I wanted to bring to your attention a really well-known German chemist that he was one of Europe's top graphene experts. His name is Andreas Nowak, and he explains there is graphene hydroxide molecules in the vaccinations. And it acts like little nano razors, and it cuts the lining of the recipient's veins, which he believes is the cause of the blood clots and the sudden deaths observed in so many of these athletes today. And on November 18th, he was arrested by the armed police in the middle of giving a YouTube live stream. And on November 26th, just hours after publishing his latest videos about graphene oxide and graphene hydroxide, he suddenly died.
Wow. It is just so terrifying that we're not entitled to hear from multiple sources of information. And graphene has been popping up as a topic of debate all around the spectrum, except for the politicized propagandists who simply want to get as many people vaccinated as possible before their gig is up. And
yes, I was catching up on your podcast the last week, and I was listening to the man from San Francisco on the deer.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, oh, that's nothing new, because didn't the president from Tanzania test goats and pawpaws, and they tested positive too? But he's dead also.
Very,
the president from Tanzania.
Very, very strange world that we're living in right now. But it's important to stay awake, stay vigilant, and stay strong. Thank you so much for waiting, Sherry, and talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Sherry's line is open, 303-696-1971. 696-1971. Another text to studio from the 710 KNUS application, the app on your phone that allows you to listen anywhere you have an internet connection and text directly to us. My coworker has a detached retina. The doctor said it was due to the J&J jab plus the Moderna booster. Yeah, I you know, oh, that's just, you know, we don't know for sure if that's what happened. The day that I did the Fox and Friends interview, was on there, you know, it was their featured story that morning with Officer Jose Manriquez, who, you know, couldn't walk after he got his jab, first jab only. And they wouldn't tell him whether they were going to make him get the second jab in order to be fully vaccinated and keep his job. I was getting calls from around the world, from doctors with suggestions and horror stories, and from people who were vax injured. We put one lady on the show that following Saturday from the East Coast to talk about what she was suffering through. And so it is a real thing. And now we see the variants, this, oh my God, it's Omicron variant. The Omicron variant is not lethal. Apparently, no one has died from it. And the woman who brought it to Colorado, 14 people on a plane in I forget where in Europe, were all fully vaccinated. So, you know, everything we've been saying is true. And my biggest concern is that we don't know what the long-term effects are going to be on folks because of this graphene, because of the way the vaccines spike your immune system. That's the wrong word, because of spike proteins, but activate your immune system at a high, high level. I'm confident that what happened to Jose Manriquez is he, a young, healthy guy, 32, athletic, is that he had a robust immune system after having had a serious case of COVID last year. And as soon as they gave him the shot, man, everything just went haywire. And now he has what appears to be the Julian Reyes syndrome. It's just outrageous. Before we go to Don in Colorado Springs, we got full lines. But before we go to Don, who's next, let's play part two of Sad Little Man.
Sad little man, gonna trap you like a dog, put your head in the net while they eat you raw. Don't ask why, just comply, 'cause fear is the drug that the doc prescribe. Sad little man, you can watch him on the news, preaching to his choir while they learn the rules. Some feel safe and some feel healed, but they'll all hold his hand as he makes the kill. Sad little man, sad little man, you better run now while you know you can. Sad little man, sad little man, you don't fool me, you sad little man.
Those are just terrific. So, of course, they had to be censored by YouTube. We had a call in the first hour from an artist, and the call wasn't strong, so we had to drop him. But just very, very concerned about the fact that, you know, he can't be who he is and still be accepted in the artistic community. We see what happens to people in Hollywood and everywhere else. It's very, very troubling. We've got the final segment of Sad Little Man that we'll certainly play before the show is over. But Don in the Springs has been waiting. Don, good morning. You finally got in.
I do need a piece of the action, you know, so, you know, sometimes I call and sometimes I don't. Sometimes it all depends. But
I don't remember the don't for quite a while, but go ahead.
Well,
you're welcome.
There are some weeks. I don't need to get into it. First of all, the arts and the entertainment community, they're full of leftists, if not sexual deviants. I mean, you know, and that's being proved over time. And second, you know, this obsession with the syringe, in my mind, the left has a unhealthy love affair with it. It somehow feels like it gives them power, like they're God or something, and that's why they stand by it. And they don't care who gets injured or killed, just as long as they can jab and brag, and you know. And I'm trying to warn people that Fauci is not a good guy, and he is a villain. I mean. You want to know the classic example of why not to follow humanists? Dr. Fauci has called himself one, and he has proven himself to be a vile, if not wicked, man.
Well, I just can't believe you would say that about this guy. What'd I do with him?
What's that?
So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there. So it's easy to criticize. But they're really criticizing science, because I represent science.
Come on, Don. Fauci represents science.
So be it. She represents junk science.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, ever-changing science. Remember? No evidence that this came from a lab in Wuhan. No evidence that this was...
I've heard the argument for years about science, and all they're doing is using science to justify a secular, humanist, pagan culture that they're trying to force upon the country, and they're still winning at that. I mean, we're becoming more and more non-sectarian, even though we still like the Christmas holiday.
Very good, Don. Have a great weekend, sir.
Hope to talk to you again next week.
All righty. Don's line, only open line. We've got 303-696-1971, 696-1971. And in the first hour, I mentioned the wonderful event we had over the Supreme Court upcoming oral arguments in the Dobbs case in the U.S. Supreme Court. Looks like they went very, very well for proponents of getting the federal government out of the business of regulating abortion. Remember, even if Roe v. Wade is overturned, it just means each state will continue to be able to then make those decisions on their own. And in Colorado, the first and most radical abortion law in the nation will likely remain in place. But it just reminded me, and I mentioned that, and somebody asked about it, that Michael Knowles will be coming to the Centennial Institute next Monday for their monthly lecture series, distinguished lecture series. And he's the guy who did the who does the Ted Cruz podcast, The Verdict, and a tremendous speaker. He was the MC at the gala dinner for the for John Eastman's organization. Now the name eludes me, but I'll come up with it in just a second. But he's just terrific. He's a Yale-educated, but he wasn't ruined with leftist ideology coming out of Yale. John Eastman, the Claremont Institute, just a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's the place I went to a few weeks ago and got to spend just a little bit of time with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. But he'll be in town Monday, and you can get all the information on Centennial Events, which I just love, at events.centennialinstitute, events.centennialinstitute. That's all you got to say. And man, oh man, on the well-fed, well-read media machine out there, John Eastman is just getting trashed. He's a kook. He's a crazy. He's an election conspiracist. He's not to be listened to. He's about to lose his law license. Of course, I represent him. He's now become a friend. And I just want you to hear what someone who knows what good lawyering is, who knows what American values are, who knows what defending the Constitution is all about, had to say about my good friend, Professor John Eastman, just a couple of nights ago.
I mean, this is a good man. This is a good man. They try to turn him into some kind of a evil person, a kook lawyer. There's nothing kook or evil about this man. Kook and evil is what you see in Congress. Kook and evil is what you see in the pages of the New York Slimes and the Washington Compost. They're lies. Their Russia collusion, their covering up of genocide and atrocities, NBC covering up for communist China. I'm telling you, this is a good, moral, ethical man like so many of the other people they're trying to destroy. Because Nancy Pelosi's none of that. That's right, I said it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Drag me in front of a grand jury, you bastards?
No, I really have to identify.
Oh, my God. Did I say that about the Mr. Producer? I'm sorry.
Yes, we know you are, Mark. Mark Levin, that was from December 2nd, and I thought about having, or inviting anyway, Professor Eastman on the show today, but there's just so much I wanted to talk about. And he's got a lot going on with being under subpoena by the horrific January 6th committee, the political hack committee, the political attack committee. But he did a tremendous, 15 minutes maybe, and that's long with Mark Levin, on December 2nd, and it was about 48 minutes in. And he talks about the illegality of the January 6th commission and how it was set up, and really blows the lid on something that is tremendously damaging to the judicial system when he explains how the judge who was in charge of assigning a bunch of these election challenge cases, when they were all flowing in after the November 2020 election, the judge who was in charge of assigning them actually polled the judges among the list of judges to whom he could assign those cases, and he assigned them to judges who were predisposed to decide that the plaintiffs did not have standing to bring the case. There were other judges who thought they did. just like the U.S. Supreme Court was split on that decision in the cases that went directly there. These judges, I think it was the Sixth Circuit, but go back and listen to the Levin interview, the podcast, December 2nd, about 48 minutes in, lengthy interview with John Eastman, the chief judge who was in charge of assigning these cases. It's supposed to be random selection. You're not supposed to be able to forum shop as a plaintiff, and the judge who assigns cases is supposed to do so randomly. But apparently it's now been established that that judge actually selected judges who he learned in advance were predisposed to find no standing for those lawsuits. It's an extraordinary scandal. Won't get a lot of play. Thank goodness Mark Levin has millions of listeners. And I'd really encourage you to go listen to his conversation with his friend and mine, Professor John Eastman, on the, I said December 2nd. Oh, yeah, it was December 2nd podcast, about 48 minutes in. All right, John, Chris, and Patsy, I'm going to take a little break, and we will be right back with your phone calls here on 710 KNUS. Without a doubt, if I wasn't so in love with Radar Love, Don't Fear the Reaper would be the theme song for this show. We're back at 10:47, 13 minutes to go until 11 o'clock. One more hour of the show, and people are texting in. When are we getting the stories, Randy? And I know I do this sometimes because I'll announce at the beginning I'm going to talk about this or that, and then I get to the end of the show and I run out of time or I have to fly through it. And so I will definitely, in the 11 o'clock hour, no guests scheduled, just you and me, full lines, and we'll get to the phones here in a sec. But no guests scheduled in the 11 o'clock hour. I will tell you about my final HOA meeting as president and why I had to leave with the Arapahoe County Sheriffs. We'll do that in the 11 o'clock hour. My big apology to Kyle Clark and all of his minions and supporters and repeaters out there for referring to creepy, sleepy, putative President Joe Biden as the pervert in chief. And yeah, so it should be a busy 11 o'clock hour, and I hope you stick around. Let's see. We have had Patsy. Man, it's been lots of ladies back-to-back or almost back-to-back. But Patsy in Highlands Ranch is online. Let's grab her up. Patsy, welcome to 710 KNUS.
Oh, hi, Randy. A quick question for you. The vote that the 80 Republicans voted for the federal access database for vaccinations, I don't think it's much different than what is already available at the Colorado State. You can get on the Colorado State Department of Health website, put your information in it, and you'll have all of your vaccine records there. So how is the federal one that the Republicans just voted for different?
Well, number one, I don't like federal databases. You know, I don't like the state database. If my medical information is in there, that doesn't make me happy at all. But
no, it doesn't make me happy. It doesn't make me happy either. But it's there. I mean, you can get on, and everything that you've, every vaccination you've had is already there.
Really? What's the website again for that?
The Colorado State Department of Health.
Okay, and how do you actually find your own vaccination records there? Do you mean you can get them if you put in some password information and you prove who you are, or you mean it's just sitting there open to the public?
No, it's not open to the public, but if you put your name in there and I believe your birth date in the vaccination records, you can see everything that you've had.
Huh. Well, I think you're right. If they're going to then consolidate all of the vaccine records from every state, it's just a federal behemoth version of the state version. But man, oh man,
right.
I don't like any of it.
No, I don't either.
And if those records are kept confidential, that's one thing. But I certainly worry about how this because you know all our medical records are online now. So
I'm not sure how confidential it is because I had a new doctor that I was going through with a couple of different things, and they sent me some information to sign into their website. And once I did that, all my vaccination records were there. So this doctor had access to that and inputted it into their system without me knowing about it.
Well, you know, the bottom line for me is, why would Republicans support adding yet another list of, especially when we know it's going to be targeted unvaccinated Americans, when we're seeing lockdowns of the unvaccinated in other countries, when we're seeing, you know, vaccine passports very close to a possibility, all of those kinds of things. We don't need Republicans supporting this kind of thing. Isn't that really the point?
Absolutely. It is the point.
Okay.
But then we also need to raise it at the state level as well.
Sounds like it to me. I think only you should have access to your confidential vaccine records. Now, I don't know the state laws, you know, for like student vaccinations to get into public school. I know there are laws that pertain to all of that. So that may be part of why that information is in a database somewhere. But it's way too much government knowledge as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
All right, Patsy, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, Patsy's line is open, 303-696-1971. 696-1971. Warming up out there, 55 in Aurora, 54 in Hell, or Denver, whatever you'd like to call it. High today around 63 degrees. Patsy's line is open, 303-696-1971. And it's interesting, this text message. Randy, why is it so – no, that's not the one. Well, why is it so important to Greg Lopez that – to let people know he was past president of Hispanic Republicans. Well, what's wrong with that? I mean, obviously, it's a dog whistle to Hispanic voters or people who want to see candidates from diverse backgrounds. But I think it was the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, wasn't it? Something like that. So that's just an important part of his resume. But the other Greg Lopez text, here it is. When Greg Lopez was on at the start of the 10 o'clock hour, we played this clip.
You know, folks, I stand with you. I stand with Sharona and I stand with Tina. Why? Because it's about the Constitution and it's about our country, America.
And the text message that came in is, does this guy not understand that trackers will take sound bites without context and use them to rail on him? Can't be doing that. Got to be mindful of what he says. Texter, what did he say that was wrong there? Number one, the fact that he showed up with Tina Peters, whose crime is that she took a forensic copy of a Dominion machine before the so-called trusted build so she could show to experts what information was deleted from those machines after the trusted build. Now, during my understanding of a trusted build is they're supposed to make a complete backup. That's what's kept for the 22 or 25 months or whatever it is. And so the interesting comparison is, what's on Tina Peters' backup, her copy, and what's on the pre-trusted build backup that was made? The report is that some 29,000 voting records are different. So, you know, it's not a story I'm following closely. I don't get it. We had Sharona Bishop on because the FBI used a battering ram to bust in her house while she was homeschooling her four children, handcuffed her, and dragged her teenage daughter up and down the stairs by her hoodie. Never charged her with a crime. She wasn't around when Tina Peters did the voting machine. She has certainly been very outspoken. We got to help her and a group of her folks out the school board up there. It was wonderful. And she speaks her mind, and she believes that the election needs to continue to be investigated. There's no crime there. So that's why those are stories. And I'm proud of Greg Lopez for being there. And, you know, his mere presence at that particular rally would have been news as far as Kyle Snark is concerned. But listen, if we're going to run away from the reality of who we are, what we believe, then we've got no business being in politics. We're just going to be another one of those politicians that says anything to get elected and then does this middle-of-the-road garbage that has allowed the Republican Party to fade in Colorado and the country to move further and further to the left. And I'm just over it. I am just absolutely over it. I'm not sure if we should go to a call. Let's see. We've got, yeah. Now, why don't we do this? Why don't we go ahead and take our break? John, Chris, Mike, please sit tight. Because it's open lines through the entire 11 o'clock hour, and I promise, and I will take the calls first, and then I'll start getting into some of my stories being escorted out of my last HOA meeting as two-term president of my neighborhood and the involvement of the Arapahoe County Sheriffs in that particular exciting moment in my life. And then my big, big apology to Kyle Snark and all of his minions for referring to creepy, sleepy, pretty sick right now, putative President Joe Biden as the pervert in chief. All that's ahead in the final hour of Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.